The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. On this July 4th, as we mark the 245th anniversary of independence from the tyranny of the English crown, let us acknowledge that we stand here on Indigenous land known to the Algonquian inhabitants as Mac'axix, Indian for the long meadow. The first peoples to inhabit the land of New England and beyond were here long before, 10,000 years before European colonists and traders arrived. The familiar mixture in this region of indigenous names, Agawam, Woronoco, Podunk, and those of European settlers, Amherst, Hampton, and Holyoke, begin to tell the story of the intersections of cultures in what became called the Pioneer Valley. But most of our historical chronicles of colonial life fall short of revealing the reality of those interactions and relationships. When I was a seminarian at the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, I worked as a technology assistant. And I was there as an assistant for a lifelong learning course called Christian Responses to the Doctrine of Discovery. Have you ever heard of the Doctrine of Discovery? I hadn't. Simply put, the Doctrine of Christian Discovery, a papal bull that was decreed in 1455, asserted that Christian nations became the rightful owner of any land they found occupied by non-Christian people. It stripped indigenous people of any rights to land they had occupied for millennia. In England, England and their colonists coming to North America continued these practices long after splitting from the church in Rome. And they remained in place, though admittedly not in the same ways, in the U.S. and in the Episcopal Church until 2009. When the 76th General Convention of the Episcopal Church passed a resolution that repudiated the doctrine of discovery and made public a commitment to all indigenous peoples to review policies and programs with a view of exposing the historical reality and impact of the doctrine of discovery and responding to its presence in the church's contemporary policies, programs, and structures. It calls upon all Episcopalians to seek a greater understanding of indigenous peoples and support those peoples in their ongoing efforts for their inherent fundamental human rights, treaty rights, and inherent sovereignty. I invite and urge you all to learn a bit more about the settling and colonization of the land upon which we stand, where our homes are built, and that we know as our home. It is a worthy endeavor to learn these things about our history that we were never taught in school. I know I wasn't. Admittedly, some of these facts are very unsettling. And during my time in that course, I learned of things like the Trail of Tears and the church's complicity with the Indian boarding schools in the United States and in Canada. These are difficult events to take in. And I'm grateful to have been able to process some of this, these pieces of our past and our present with other people of faith. I don't know how I could do it without other people of faith. It is my hope that we might join together as a reading circle in the fall, using the Reverend Canon Stephanie Speller's new book, The Church Cracked Open, Disruption, Decline, and New Hope for Beloved Community. I promise it will make for some very interesting learning and discussion as we look at our own Episcopal Church and its role and lasting influence on the formation of this country and the ways that we are the ways of our being and how we are called to be a force for healing our wounds and divisions. So why talk about this today and how does it relate to the gospel? Well, we certainly have much to be thankful for in this country. And for many of us, the advantages and freedoms of our democracy bring much to our lives that others in the world covet and are jealous enough, so threatened that by those freedoms that we have, that they worked very hard to undermine it. The gospel itself is a message of freedom, freedom from the oppression of sin and the promise of freedom, that we might realize the full measure of God's grace and extend that forward in the world. Jesus sends his disciples out from their safe place with him to spread the word of the kingdom of God. He sends them two by two into the towns and regions around them, and he gives them simple instructions. Take only the simplest clothing on your back and the sandals on your feet. In other words, carry yourself with humility. Present yourselves at the door of your neighbor and greet them in God's peace. Accept their hospitality, live among them, tell them the news of the kingdom, give them the good news that God's kingdom is for all people. And if they do not accept and welcome you, bid them goodbye and move on. He also tells them to shake the dust from their feet as a testimony against them. Shake the dust from their feet. I remember one of my professors talking about her experience of being in the Holy Land and spending days walking from one site to another. And she said that even when she was wearing good heavy socks and good walking shoes, the character of the soil at the end of the day was embedded in the cracks between our toes and in her feet. And it nested there. And the guide that she was with told them that what they needed to do was to stamp their feet and loosen the silt, because if they added water to it, it would just make it harder to remove. Think of what flour is like when you add water to it and it's on the board you've been working on. You have to practically scrape it off once you add water to it, where if you were just to bang the board, the flour would just come off. That's pretty tough stuff. And Jesus' disciples were only wearing sandals. So you can imagine what it was like at the end of their day. And they would have known what Jesus was saying. But it's a great metaphor that Jesus gives us for understanding just what's at stake. Not only to shake the dust off of those that would reject the message, but to stamp off the silt of their own feelings of failure and their ego, and to keep their heads raised in the confidence of what he has taught them, in the confidence of the kingdom. To heal in God's name and to show forth the love of the one that frees us to be beloved children serving God in service to one another requires that we stamp the dust off of our feet. I think that metaphor works really well for us. There are always those things that cling stubbornly to us, worn out habits, fears rooted in fearful thinking. Perhaps regrets are holding on to ways of being that we wish we could rid ourselves of. And the same is so true of our society. Our past and our not so long ago actions as a country and a church have left us crusted with layers of dust and sand that are not easily removed. Perhaps what we really need is a good communal stamping and shaking loose to expose what's under the surface. And in some ways, I think we've seen just that happening in the past few years. So much exposed, apparent in the disparate ways the pandemic affected elderly, minority, and indigenous communities, exposing the gaps in healthcare and services. In recent years, we've experienced a rise in hateful speech and action toward non-Christian communities of faith. And our hearts are broken with the terrible events that are being revealed and unfolding from Catholic and Anglican-run boarding schools in our neighboring Canada. Yes, much has been shaken loose and revealed. But praise God, Jesus offers to us a way, the way of love, the way of grace, the way of healing for ourselves, our communities, and our country. Release from the bondage of individualism, freedom from the feudal mentality of us versus them, and the gift of willingness to see that though we nobly aspire to be a nation of equals, we still have a way to go. And with this, we now realize that we are the captives to whom Jesus proclaims release. We are the ones that Jesus has come to set free. Freedom is a precious privilege and a gift, and with it comes great responsibility. With God's help and the love of Christ and the companionship of the Holy Spirit, let us seek to know the more inclusive and expansive story of our history, that we might heal our present and realize our wholeness for the future. Knowledge is the key to loving and living in healthful community. I commend Stephanie Speller's book to you and hope you will join me in the fall for the reading circle. Yes, freedom is indeed a gift and a privilege. May God bless our communities and all that we share life within them, and let us offer this prayer for our nation. Lord God Almighty, you have made all the peoples of the earth for your glory to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.